Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Eric and Ann Lang deliver the message entitled, If You Take Up Your Mat, What Do You Leave Behind?
Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 8 through 11. Hear these words. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be for the Lord, it would be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off.
And our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of John, from the fifth chapter, beginning in the first verse. Listen now for the word of God. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethzatha, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take up your mat, and walk." At once, the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your mat." But he answered them, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. O God of insight and wisdom, we ask that your Spirit would work in this place with two preachers, coming with our own perspectives and experiences of your ways in the world. We ask that your Spirit would transform our words into your message, that we might learn and grow to become more closely conformed to the image of Christ. Amen. I think there is a temptation in every healing story of Jesus to get so caught up in the miracle that we forget about the illness. It's kind of like spending your evenings watching the Olympics and catching only the medals ceremony without understanding all of the effort and work that it took to get there in the first place. In the same way, understanding how Jesus heals without really thinking about what it means to be ill or sick misses the full power of what our God is able to do. And so today's text challenges us to explore the hope for healing that we carry with us when we are ill. And we will see that being healed sometimes can carry its own challenges, and that it can transform us in ways that we do not expect. The setting for today's text is a pool called Bethzatha, or in some other translations, Bethsaida, a pool where many people who are sick gather every day. The reason they gather is this is the popular understanding of it is this is a spring of water, and as springs do from time to time, things bubble up out of the water. The water is stirred, and the people who are there would believe there is an angel there stirring the waters, and the first person who can get into that water might be healed. That's why this man is so worried about who's the first one in the pool. But this man carries with him a long history that he brings to this pool as well. He has been ill for 38 years. 38 is a number that many people in the people of Israel would remember, because for 38 years, the people of Israel wandered in the wilderness after being told they could not enter the promised land. 38 years of lost time, of life not lived to its fullest by being away from where God wanted them to be. And so this man has spent 38 years being sick, 2 years shy of the number in the Bible of 40 years of the life of a generation. And so this man has seen an entire generation rise up in the time that he has been sick. People growing from being young children, settling into their own families, having meaningful livelihoods and working the land or finding meaningful work, and then passing on what they have earned to the next generation. In that entire course of time, this man has been sick. He has been lying on his mat, waiting for the waters to bubble at the right time. For this man, this pool is stagnant water. It offers no vitality and no chance for him to engage in something new until Jesus comes. This Jesus who offers to so many people living water, water that when we drink it, we will never thirst again. And so in this story, we see what happens when living water breaks into places where the waters are stagnant.
So our text tells us that Jesus has come to Jerusalem for a festival. And this appears to be a kind of ordinary, everyday encounter. But we're not clear about why Jesus came to the pool. The gospel writer John doesn't exactly tell us why Jesus is at this pool. And he doesn't tell us that he had the intentions to heal anyone. Jesus is here. What's also interesting is the man who's been ill for 38 years has no idea who Jesus is. So often in the gospel stories, we hear about people who call out to Jesus from the road, know who he is, just want to get a glimpse, to reach out. This man has no idea who is talking to him. Well, Jesus comes across this man and says to him, "Do you want to get well?" I actually wonder how this conversation started. I wonder, did Jesus just start with this? It's kind of an odd intro. Or did he say this after listening to this man's story and decided to make a pointed and focused question, setting the conversation into action to reveal himself as God's son? I also find it interesting that this man's response isn't a yes or a no answer. Instead, it is, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. And while I'm making my way, someone else goes in before me." I've studied this a couple of times, and this time I wondered and noticed that maybe the man felt trapped. Maybe he was a little bit of afraid to be really truthful. Because what if he really wanted to say, "I don't know anything else. I know nothing else about this mat, and I can't make it to that pool. I have lived an entire generation this way. I don't know anything else." Of course, we want him to say, "I want to get well. Why do you think I'm here at a pool for healing?" That's what we want him to say. But instead, he doesn't. Jesus doesn't ask him, if he wants to get into the pool or if he wants help, but he asks him if he wants to be well. And the man responds with all of the outside physical reasons that he cannot, instead of that deep desire of his heart. I wonder if you and I respond to the God who heals in the same way. I wonder when God asks you and I if we want to be made well, do we respond with all of the reasons that we cannot? There's not enough time to exercise. There's not enough money to take care of myself in healthy ways. I have no insurance. I don't have my prescriptions filled. I wonder if we tell God that we can't get well because we are too tired. Or no one else will want to help us. Or maybe it's because someone or something is in our way. But what if we actually listen to the question that Jesus was asking us? Do you want to get well? And what if we responded with the desire of our heart? Yes. I wonder if we would live into being well. I wonder if we would be healthier, take our wellness in our own hands. We would spend more time with one another, love each other differently, ask for forgiveness, reconcile more, and live as well people. I wonder if we allow our fears to overwhelm us, take over our lives instead of listening to the deepest desires of our hearts to be made well. The man feels a little bit trapped. I hate feeling trapped. I want to be free. I want to be free to explore, to move, to live the way I hope and believe God is calling me. And yet I feel trapped. And I wonder if you feel trapped. At times I feel trapped by our political climate of what the future of our country will look like. I feel trapped by the continued systemic oppression and hatred of people, of friends, of neighbors, of God's beloved children who have different skin color than my own. I feel trapped sometimes in how to raise my two boys in a world that sometimes feels so full of hatred. I want so badly to be a truth teller, and sometimes I get trapped. And the real desire of my heart is to share what the truth is about the living God, about who God is and how God breaks down these barriers and restores us to each other and to God. And yet sometimes I feel trapped. What is so amazing is that even if this man felt trapped, Jesus healed. Jesus didn't wait for him to get on board with the question, didn't want him to understand it correctly. He heals. Jesus heals. He seeks out this man and heals. And this man accepts and obeys. He gets up and walks.
The words of Jesus, "Stand up, take up your mat, and walk," provides us a helpful image or series of images to understand the journey that we often take from being ill and sick to being made well. And so Jesus tells this man to stand up. All of a sudden, the man must draw upon muscles that he knows are not strong enough to hold him up. Ligaments and tendons and all of the parts in his body that he knows will buckle if he stands on his own. But as he responds and starts to stand up, he realizes that he has strength. Strength not from his own ability, but in the God who provides power beyond what we are able to imagine. And so he is able to stand, but even then, he's experiencing new sensations. If any of you have ever sat on an arm or a leg in the wrong way for a little bit and your arm goes numb, you know you start to feel it tingle for a bit as you're getting the feeling back. Sometimes you can even feel outright pain. And I think this man experienced much the same thing. As feeling came back into ill arms and legs, he had to experience the pain of being healed. Something we don't like to think about very often, that when God heals us, we aren't removed from every source of pain or discomfort or suffering. In fact, part of the journey of healing may mean going through those difficult moments. And so I wonder, for this community, for you as an individual, what are the ways that God is asking you to stand? To stand for things that you believe in, knowing that when you stand, you might draw on strength that is not your own, and that doing so may bring you discomfort. Jesus also said to take up your mat. And for those of us who like to think we've come through difficult times, we can feel a temptation to put all of those bad memories in the past. They're in the rearview mirror, and we're moving forward into a new way of life, and we can forget everything that came before. Well, for this man, Jesus told him to take his mat. His mat was the symbol of 38 years of illness, and Jesus had him carry it with him. Why have that difficult memory? Perhaps it's because with God as the healing agent in his life, that mat is no longer a symbol of oppression or of limited ability, but is instead a sign for what God can do. That things that once held us back no longer do, and we can carry them to point to the ways that God can heal in wonderful and unexpected ways. And Jesus also tells this man to walk, to leave behind the place that he knows all too well, and to go into uncharted territory, to go on to a journey that this man knows nothing about, and to explore new places, because this God who heals also commissions. And as this man goes out and walks, his very life is a sign to the work of God, healing and reconciling all people. And this man responds. He stands up, takes up his mat, and he walks. But our text continues. It says, "Now that day was a Sabbath." And the religious leaders who understand the Sabbath rules immediately catch him and point out that it is the Sabbath and it was not lawful for him to carry his mat on that day.
So the man's response to the Jewish leaders is another place of feeling trapped. When confronted of why he is carrying his mat, he says, "The man who healed me told me to pick up my mat." Why didn't he say, "Can you believe it? I'm healed. I am walking. I am carrying my own mat. I haven't been able to do this in 38 years. My life has changed. Oops, I forgot it was the Sabbath. But isn't God amazing?" Instead, he talks about this other man who told him to do this. But I'm struck that the man stands up and picks up his mat and then is caught for doing work on the Sabbath. How many times have you and I felt called to stand up, to speak up, to walk, only to be caught by the authorities, the religious, cultural, civil authorities, and then we struggle with our response? I have dear friends who've adopted two beautiful, full of life little boys from Ethiopia. Over the course of 3 years, friends and family, their faith and social communities prayed and prepared for them. These boys were adopted about 3 years ago. My friends heard this invitation and the command to take up their mat, walk in faith, adopting and expanding their family. Now, as white parents, they have been in a family, friend, and communal struggle of what does it mean to raise two black boys in a culture that so quickly puts a target on their back. As someone who has joined in the commitment to support these friends and their young children, I often ask myself, how do I rise up, take up my mat, and to speak out about the injustice these boys and other children of color will face? Friends, we are given a new perspective to engage the world in a new way. New eyes to see and ears to hear. We have new purpose. We are renewed, we are restored, and we are healed. And yet when we're confronted on this new perspective, our new purpose, we often feel trapped. It is easier to hide in what is familiar and possibly deeply ingrained in us than to step out in new life. This man took a risk in leaving behind an entire generation of living, an entire way of thinking and a perspective, all to stand up, to rise, to be brave, and to live life differently. A new life that Jesus gave him. And what did he leave behind? A view of a pool, some friends, the never-ending hope that he would one day make it into the waters. A life that was known to him. But he took a risk and stepped into something new. What would happen if we took a risk, stepped into something new? If we shifted our lifelong perspective, vote for a different political party, challenge or maybe even change our own views on race and racism in this country, or our understanding of the least of these. Friends, living well is to choose life and not destructive behavior. Living well is to choose to forgive and be forgiven. To live well is to be in relationship with one another and with the God who desires to make us well.
And when we hear the daunting words to stand up, take up your mat, and walk, it serves us well to remember just who it is who says those words. because Jesus Christ himself stood up and took up his cross and walked a road that was very difficult but led to our reconciliation and our salvation. He too was caught by the authorities who wanted his message silenced. And ultimately in his death, he was trapped in the grave. But the grave cannot hold our Lord. And Jesus Christ rose from the dead and reigns as Lord and now offers every one of us the word that there is no place where we are that we cannot be touched, that we cannot be healed, that there is no place for us to be able to go up on our own and journey into this way of being healed and whole. So friends, take heart, knowing that as we wonder and are so amazed at this journey of being healed, that God is with us, that Jesus Christ has gone through a similar journey, and in so doing knows that we are always supported and empowered by what Jesus Christ can do. So what way do you feel called to stand up and take up your mat and walk? In whatever way that feels today, I invite you to remember and take heart that Jesus always walks with us. Let us pray. God, we are so conscious of all of the ways that we are not well, our own sinful behaviors, the activities of the world around us, and the difficult way that we feel trapped by our world. And we know all too well what it means to be trapped. But you offer healing, and you offer us the invitation to journey with you on a way towards healing. So God, we ask that you would provide your strength, that you would walk us through the moments of discomfort, because ultimately you are faithful, and the work that you began in us, you will see through to its completion. It is in the strong name of Jesus that we pray.